We'll begin our lesson this morning once more reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. As we've studied this text over the past several weeks, we've been reminded of the importance of seeking to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And to do that, of course, that involves developing a certain Christ-like character, striving to be more like Jesus every day. And that's a process that just requires diligence. We just must always be striving to be more like that and to continue in growth every day of our lives. As Peter describes it in this text, this growth process involves adding these various virtues to our faith, add these qualities. And so we come to the last in the series of these graces, and that's love. Our spiritual growth is simply not complete without emphasizing the importance of love. Christ-like love, God-like love, the love that He demonstrated toward us. And it seems to stand here in this list as the crown of all the virtues. In fact, in other places in the New Testament, love is often exalted above all others. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote when he said that the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. So there's always this emphasis on the principle of love in the New Testament and how supreme it is and how focused it is on really the heart and the epitome of what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, and someone who's striving to be like Him. It comes down to this principle of love. Love that we are talking about, of course, is agape love. That's the Greek word here. And this particular word describes a love which is not simply, not just an emotion. It's not simply affection. It is a willful act. It flows from an attitude. And I think the beginning place is to recognize that it is the attitude, it is the love that God has extended toward us. And it is the love which He requires from us toward Himself. And so when we read here that when all these other things have been added, then we are to add love, I think we need to be reminded that this love is evoked not by what we are, but by who He is first. God is love. And God demonstrated His love toward us not because we are so lovable or that we in any way deserve to be loved, but just because God is love. Because that's just who He is. That's just His character. So, for our definition, we might say that this love, this agape love, is a deliberate, willful desire for the highest good of others. For the highest good of the one who is being loved. It should also be noted that it shows itself in sacrificial action for the recipient's good. It is sacrificial in its very nature. As we see when we think about the cross of Jesus Christ, that symbolizes God's love toward us. Common abbreviated definition then would be what agape love is: active goodwill. It is a disposition that by which we not only desire, but we seek the good of others. And we were willing to sacrifice and give up so that that can happen. This is what God did for us. And, you know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's agape. That's what love does, that love acts. Love is a decision that we make in this sense. It's not simply an emotion that arises spontaneously. We choose to love, or we choose not to in this sense. God chose to love us. Romans 5 and verse 8 says, while we were still sinners, He loved us. He died for us. 1 John 3 and verse 16, by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us. What does love look like? See, that's love. That's understanding what agape is. And John 15, verse 13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friend. The greatest manifestation of love. So we best understand love when we see what happened at the cross. When we picture in our minds Jesus, the Son of God, the beloved Son of God, the sinless one, willingly sacrificing Himself for us, even when we were sinners and rebellious against Him. That's love. I think we could also say that love is the one virtue that completes all these others. And I hope I'm not reading too much into this and pressing anything that I shouldn't. If I am, then forgive me. But let's just think about it. Here we have faith. He's saying, add these things to your faith. Well, I remember that the Apostle Paul spoke about faith working through love in Galatians chapter 5. We really can't talk about faith, the kind of faith that we ought to have, unless it ultimately manifests itself in love. Moral excellence, or virtue, is the second one. Well, of course, it's based on love. How can we say we are virtuous or morally excellent if we do not love our neighbor? And then there's knowledge. You know, knowledge is incomplete without love. Paul, when he spoke of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, even if I have all knowledge, but if I don't have love, it's nothing, you see. Self-control is achieved by putting others first. And then there's perseverance. We are able to persevere through life. It's made possible because of our love for the Lord and because of the love that He has shown toward us. Godliness. What's the essence of godliness? What is the essence of being God-like and walking with God if it's not to love as He loved? And then, as we studied last Lord's Day, brotherly affection. Brotherly affection, Philadelphia, is raised to a higher level when we practice agape love. See? Why is all this? Because God is love. God is love. And so this is the love that God wants us to develop in our lives. We try to be like God. Well, Peter described it here in verses 3 and 4 as the goal of becoming partakers of the divine nature. So by these great promises, he says, you may become partakers of the divine nature. What's the divine nature? Well, it's the nature of God. How can we become partakers of the nature of God? We cannot become divine. We cannot become deity. The only way that we can become partakers of the divine nature is to be like God in His character
And the more we learn love, then we get into the very heart of it. The heart of God is the heart of love. And that's what we strive to do. God wants us to have that same kind of love in our lives. So God is love, 1 John 4, verse 8. So I want us to think of some other passages in the remaining part of the lesson that helps us to understand in a practical way how important love is. And this is just touching the surface of so much that's in the New Testament on the subject of love. But first of all, love is the walk of those who imitate Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 2, Paul writes, "And walk in love, agape, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Well, you remember that in Ephesians, Paul uses the term walk as a way to suggest the Christian life, the life that we live. So love is the walk of those who imitate Christ. Love is the garment of those who are God's elect, God's chosen. Paul talked about this in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. And he says, "As those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." Put on love. That's the bond. That's what we clothe ourselves in, as Paul describes it there. Love is the motive of our actions. "Let all that you do be done in love." 1 Corinthians 16:14. "Let all that you do be done in love." And so, we want to put aside false motives. We want to put aside ulterior motives or self-serving motives. And let it be done in love. Love is the adhesive of unity. A couple of weeks ago, we had that lesson from Psalm 133. How blessed it is to dwell in unity. How blessed it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. What's the basis of unity? Colossians 2, verse 2, he says, "Having been knit together in love." Knit together. Brought together. Love is what causes us to adhere to each other. To stick together. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, the proverb says. So love is the adhesive. If we don't have love, then any kind of unity that we might try to have is just forced unity. It's not going to last. Love makes it last. Love is the definition of true liberty and service. Galatians 5, verse 13, Paul said, "Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." He warned against misappropriating our freedom in Christ as license to do whatever we want. Say, "I'm free in Christ. I'm free from the law. Therefore, I can do anything I want." Paul warns against that. He says, it's not an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, through love, serve one another. That's the answer. The freedom that we have is realized when we recognize that the imperative for us is to serve one another in love. Love is the demonstration that we are children of God. Love demonstrates that we're children of God. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. He says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great,
and you will be sons of the Most High. For He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. How do we demonstrate that we're children of God? How do we demonstrate that God is our Father? When we are merciful like He is merciful. When we love our enemies the way He has loved all of us. That's love. Love demonstrates that. Love, then, is the proof that we know God. John wrote about love a lot in the book of 1 John, that epistle there. And we could spend just a long time looking at that epistle and see what the apostle says about it. But he says in this passage, chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Why would he say it that way? When we look at the context in that passage in 1 John, he is referring to people who claim to know God. But he says, here's how you prove that you know God. It's not by making a statement that I love God. It's not by making a claim. You prove it by loving, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God, that is a child of God, and knows God. That's how you prove you know Him. Because really, that's what we've been saying in the lesson, is that we want to understand what this love is that we add, this crown of all virtues. This agape love is to see what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's extended His love toward us. So to conclude, reading further in that passage in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, John says, "By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Listen, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And that's the point right there. That's the lesson. If God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. Finally, we add love. We strive for that, don't we? And that's what we should do if we want to be the children of God. So that's our lesson for today, and I appreciate you listening to this lesson and to the others that we have shared this day. And we're about to stand now and sing this song of invitation. And let's just remember as we sing it, remember the love of God, the love that He has demonstrated toward us. And ask ourselves, am I walking with Him? And if the invitation applies to any of us in any way, we'll give you this opportunity. I'll be standing soon.